listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow, live, live, live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, May 8th, 2019. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly and here with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening. I'm glad to be here.
And Michael Kelly with us as well.
Good evening, everyone. Always happy to be here.
We'd like to welcome those of you joining us live for this program at our new time, 9 p.m. Eastern, starting tonight. And also welcome those listening to the archive. We appreciate your time and attention and being with us. Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. I'd like to read our 9 abbreviated principles of belief to set the tone and get us off on the right foot. The first one is do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. Number 4, we are all equal. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And you can read the complete version of the 9 principles of belief on our website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. And these are arguably, in, of course, my humble opinion, the healthiest spiritual belief system on the planet. Because, you know, it's all about helping each other, accepting each other. So tonight, we're going to talk about a topic that I had mentioned on our graduation ceremony last Saturday, about getting out of our own way. And I had mentioned this at the time, but one of our graduates, Dr. Carlton Johnson, just graduated, and in his doctoral dissertation, he talked about how he had to get out of his own way to get through the program, through the doctoral program, bachelor's, master's, doctoral degree. And it was great, you know, and I applaud him for bringing that up. You know, that's one thing I love about students when they're real life human beings, you know, to tell me who you are, you know, it's just a beautiful thing. And I love that part of it. And so when he talked about that, it really spoke to me. And I'm thinking about, you know, throughout my life. And that's what I love too about students who make me think too. That's great. You know, I love that. You know, but at what times in my life did I stand in my own way? You know, what, over the years, in what ways have I stood in my own way and essentially prevented myself from getting the success and that I wanted or reaching the goals that I wanted? And there were times that I did. And I've been doing some thinking about this over the last few days, and I haven't come up with any, you know, brilliant light bulb moments, but one thing I can trace it back to, at least in my own case, is taking myself too seriously at times. And we've talked about this many times on this program, but I think about that. Sometimes I've taken myself so seriously and I end up sabotaging whatever it is. And unwittingly, didn't mean to, but because I took myself too seriously, it hampered my own effectiveness. And, you know, in fact, I, as a young man, one of the things that I came to understand about myself was that I wanted too much too fast. In fact, I was even accused by my old boss You want too much too soon. And that's because I always felt like I was capable, you know. I always felt like I was able to achieve whatever. And, in fact, I always felt my age held me back because I was always more capable of doing things than my people typically my age would do. And so I always went forward, moved forward. And, you know, it's a blessing and a curse. It is. It's just a blessing and a curse when you have that attitude or when you're capable of doing a lot of things. In fact, I think it was Bird Baggett, author, salesperson, talked about great potential being a heavy burden to carry at times because of that. So those are some of my thoughts on standing in my own way. Dr. Hunter, anything you want to add?
Well, I think we have a lot of hidden belief systems.
Yeah.
I sometimes think it's an inferiority complex, or those people can do well, but, you know, the most my parents ever expected of me was this. But then you kind of fight with yourself because you know you could do more. So I think that feeling a little bit inferior to success can hold people back. But also, I think pride is another big one of prideful in ways that you don't want to ask questions that help you move forward, if you will, and being willing to investigate more as opposed to, I know a lot of people who feel victimized and that, oh, I could never have that, you know, and that's, you know, the world didn't give me an opportunity. And partly that can actually mean a lot, you know, when there isn't opportunity. At the same time, we have to make effort. You know, if you believe there's going to be a lot of stumbling blocks, then you will. I think there's something to be said for being young when you know less.
You know, you don't know you can't do it, so you go and do it.
That's right. You know, it's like you don't think that there's things in the way. At the same time, we're stumbling over other things, you know, and I really believe it's our internal mechanisms for self-sabotage and it's whatever we believe. Cecilia just mentioned she felt that a major part of her life and what stood in her way is that she wanted to please other people. Then it wasn't until she realized that she couldn't that she started to find her own successes. I think that's a big part of it, Cecilia, yeah. That we're in a sphere of influence, right? And we want to be accepted by that sphere of influence. And if you step out of something to be more on your own, you're going to lose that social connection. So that's kind of a cognitive dissonance, right? So It's if I want that over there, it means I have to leave this comfort and these people won't accept me. And there's so much social dynamic and emotional attachments and the psychologies that go into family structure, community structures, you know, your extended family, because people don't want things to change. They want things to change for themselves, but they don't want their environment to change. So it can get very complex. So it's really about pulling yourself back into you and asking, what do I really want? And that willingness to follow your own spirit, if you will, at no matter the cost. But that, boy, I'll tell you, you have to, usually that takes reaching a pivotal point where you have nothing to lose. That's usually when change happens. Setting new goals for yourself and what those goals could be, that hinges on your belief systems about yourself and how you fit in the world, I think.
Yeah, and let's build on that a little bit. You'd mentioned essentially people's view, personally, in their self view.
Yeah, yeah.
And that could be a way we stand in our own way, is our own self belief or lack thereof. If we feel that we're not good enough, not smart enough, not deserving, not entitled to the good things in life, that can hold us back. So you think about what's holding you back. Well, whatever is holding you back is essentially you standing in your own way, you're holding you back. Because, you know, look, folks, the world's going on. I mean, people are just going about their business. They're doing their thing. Everybody wants to get ahead. Everybody wants to be successful. Everybody wants to achieve their goals, attain their goals, and achieve their dreams and all that. And they're just they're going about it. And we tend to think that people are a lot more aware of us and concerned about us and interested in us than they probably are. So what that means is don't let your opinion of what others think of you, which we call them esteem, affect you. Don't let that hold you back because, you know, people may say things, but frankly, people are more concerned about their own lives and getting ahead than they are about other people. So don't let a poor self-concept hold you back.
Or attachments. I can share very recently, one of my clients called, she's a flight attendant, fell in love with a fellow who lives in Australia, and she's been living there for a few months. Well, they want to get married. Her soon-to-be fiance, I'll explain in a second, called her father here in Canada and said, I'd like to, and did all the right things. I'd really love to marry your daughter with your, you know, blessings. He said, not unless you live in Canada, won't happen. So now it caused quite a rift because he's now feeling like he can never live up to this girl's father. And he's asking her to stay in Australia. And so she calls me saying, what do I do? Because I feel like I have to choose between him and my family. And I thought, what an interesting thing for a family to do. This young lady is 30 years old. She's not 20. She's 30 years old. She's a grown woman, loves her family, feels this tremendous, you know, bond and commitment with her family. But her family's now put conditions on the life she should leave.
Yep.
That's good for them.
Yep.
So I explained to her, in my view, and for the grace of age and life experience and doing I've done for a long time, I said, you would come home, give him up, come home. Their life is just going to carry on like it always has. You'd be here for them, but you would miss desperately the man you love. And that resentment will start to build up toward your family that you missed out on the love of your life and a good life for them. And that won't change. And you're 30 years old. And I said, but just go marry him. You know, have another celebration in Canada if you want to later. And your family will be angry for a while. You know, they'll mm-hmm. get over it because they need to get on with their life. Now, and so she said, yes, but I'm giving this up for him. It's what I'm giving up to be with him. Or what I'm giving to him, what's he giving to me? And I said, that's an interesting wording. It's what you're surrendering in yourself to be with love. It's not about what you're giving to him because he's already giving you a life, you know, and the life you share together. So these are really subliminal belief systems that we take on about what our life is supposed to look like.
Well, it's about the obligations, and we talked about obligations
exactly.
in the past. You know, a lot of the obligations that we feel are imposed upon us by other people. And that's another, I appreciate that story, that experience, because it reminds me of my own experience in principle in a different way. Years ago, my family basically said, if you're not part of our religion, then we don't accept you. In fact, you're dead to us. We reject you. So it's emotional blackmail. And that's no different than what this girl's dad was doing. He was, you know, engaging in emotional blackmail. He was holding conditions over her, which he had no right to do. That's not his life. It's none of his business, really, you know. And so by adhering to those, she would be blocking her own way or standing in her own way or holding herself back.
Exactly.
And so we can now extrapolate this and broaden out to those listening. What ways might you be holding yourself back or standing in your own way? Michael, did you have any comments you wanted to make on this topic? I haven't heard from you.
Well, you know, I think Well, a few things. First off, maybe it's just the millennial in me, but I don't really see the point in asking the father for permission in the first place. What the hell does he have to do with it? But back to the overall topic of, you know, not getting or getting out of your own way, I think what a lot of it's about is balance, you know, because it's, you know, having that kind of confidence, but not too over-eager to where you fall. It's the balance of, what am I trying to say here? I had it formulated pretty well earlier, but let me use an example from work. A lot of times, I'll tend to overthink something. So that's really what I'm talking about. You need to apply a certain level of thought, a certain level of analysis and logic, but going too far, you lose the balance, and then you oftentimes can cause a problem where none existed, or take longer to get to a solution than you really needed to. And that can be in interpersonal relationships or a project you're working on, but it's also about having the ability to push forward with your own hopes and dreams too, and, you know, realizing that it's your own themistine, your own negativity that's been getting in the way. And I think that was touched on very well by both of you earlier this evening. But what I really think about is just having that balance between what the world needs, what this woman's family wanted, and what you need, and the fact that you matter equally as well as everybody else.
Well, it's interesting you mentioned that about, you know, why, kind of old-fashioned in a way, but why he would ask the father. It's in a merging of families, and it's just being respectful if to be embracing of the family. Both my sons-in-law had a talk with me before, you know, fully being engaged to my daughters, and I appreciated that because it allowed us to be more family inclusive. They certainly knew they didn't need my permission. What they were asking for is kind of an approval and kind of a blessing in a way, which isn't a yay or nay. It's yes, I support whatever my daughter wants, and you're the right choice, and I'm so glad that you respected the mother or whatever it would be, the father and the family. And especially if you know that, you know, it's how important the family is to your potential spouse. You know, it's just being inclusive. And again, I don't think it's about asking for can I. I think it's just being respectful and merging. But that, you know,
I can understand that.
And that might sound old-fashioned, but I think that there is something to be said for a breakdown in a lot of families where it is too much of me and, you know, I'm just going to go do my own thing and everything kind of falls apart. And but I think you're right, though, in that balance, Michael. And I think that's what you're trying to get across, is trying to weigh it out and find a balance in ourselves about what's important to us and hopefully make progress in life, making a step forward and saying, okay, am I getting that little bit closer to how I want to live my life, where I want to be, without diminishing, you know, what decisions am I making then that are diminishing my future? Mm-hmm. A lot of people are held hostage, and we tend to hold ourselves hostage in, you know, to getting to where we do. Look, we're people here on the program right now who've given up a lot to follow who we are. But I want to say this, we're an exception to the rule, and I have had to really appreciate what people go through and the anguish people go through, and I have touched on that in myself, of what it costs to let go to pursue what you believe in. And it's just not an easy process. So it's as simple as if whether or not you want to have a relationship that everybody's not fond of or putting conditions on, or as simple as I would really like to finish this course, but I'm having a hard time. What's in my way? And I think I want to acknowledge, too, that we live in a world that we're tired, you know, and how much energy do we have, and what are we investing that energy into that gets us that little bit closer to where we want to be. So in that case, Michael, too, there's balance. So how am I balancing my day, knowing I'm tired? I've only got so many hours and so much energy. Can I do a little bit? You know, in sales, one of the things that, and being self-employed too, I have to do one thing per day toward investing into my business or toward investing into myself. Even that one phone call, one contact, one letter. And just by doing that, I'm at least making a bit of progress. So I think whether it's studying, if I even read one page today, you know, I'm going to read a page or one little section. And, you know, just that little bit toward knowing that we have full lives. But we do have to make some really interesting and sometimes tough decisions about, you know what, I can't go play baseball tonight because I really have to study, you know.
Yeah, and I really love that word choice of investing. And you really are.
It is an investment. Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's true.
So, you know, that's what we're talking about here. Another aspect of what we're talking about here tonight is disabling beliefs. Disabling beliefs, especially about ourselves and our life. And I went through that and looked back. I, you know, my religious beliefs back in the day held me back big time. I mean, I traded a life and several careers for those religious beliefs. And I obviously wouldn't be where I am if I hadn't gone through what I went through. But, you know, sometimes you look back and say, gee, what if I had gotten out of my way back then? And, you know, and in the chat room, you know, the comment is made of it's not easy letting go of what people think about you. And that can be very true. Of course, that's them esteem when we place too much importance on what other people think of us. You know, we want self-esteem, which is internal expectations and validation rather than external. And I get that. And, you know, we all want people to like us and accept us, folks. I mean, that's just, we're social creatures. This is part of being a human being, you know. But we also need to understand that if we have to modify our lives or change who we are in order to be acceptable to other people, when we're just trying to be ourselves and live our life, we're doing no harm, well, then it's those other people that need to change. They need to be accepting. Not, we don't need to change for them. We just need to be who we are, and they need to be who they are. And if we mesh, if we get along, then great. But if we don't, then we move our separate ways. That's just the nature of being human. That's just the nature of relationships. But we don't want to place too much importance on that.
You know, if I can just add something in there, when you're talking about how other people view us and us making those decisions, it used to quite crush me if somebody had an ill impression of me, because that would not be my intent. And but I had to work through this process of people seeing limited information about me. And secondly, seeing through their own eyes, they're subjective. So sometimes, look, there's no nice way to say something and it's still going to upset them. And then they don't like you as a result of that. And I'm thinking, wow, I don't know what else to do. Now, I worked through that in my life. And for the grace of age, I've come to accept that everyone has a subjective view and their own, how can I say this nicely? Their own goal to obtain. In other words, they have their own motivation. And when people start speaking critically, it's not usually by observation that they're just to share an observation. They're usually doing it to harm and to make themselves better. And when I really started, looking that over, mulling it around in my head, I thought, you know what? This really has nothing to do with me. I have something to do with me. And that cliche term of how people see me is none of my business, mm-hmm. It's really true. It is my business if it affects me, but then I just need to move forward. People, we all look at each other and have an opinion based on our view at the moment, and it's always unlimited information. We never know the story.
Anytime you put yourself out there, you got to develop a thick skin.
Yeah.
Because when you put yourself out in front, when you're a teacher, an educator, you're on the radio, you're on TV, whatever it is, you better have a thick skin. And if you don't, you'll get one pretty fast, because there'll be always somebody, you know, criticize you. I remember the years ago I was working on Empowered Recovery. This has been 20 or more years, or about 20 years ago. And I was putting down, I wanted to do a seminar or something to help people in alcoholic relationships. And so I advertised, you know, I mentioned I was doing this on a couple of threads, news forums here and there. And boy, I was just attacked mercilessly about trying to make, and I wasn't trying to do this, but it accused me of trying to make money on the nightmare of others. And it just blew me away. You know, I mean, I really took it hard. Yeah. I'm thinking, what? That's not what I'm trying to do. I mean, what, 10 bucks to cover costs of everything? What are you talking about? You know, and I get thinking and pondering that. And I thought, well, gee, I'm not a doctor. You know, I'm not a surgeon getting rich off the pain of others, you know. And I mean, if we want to apply that logic, we could apply it to nursing and anybody who helps anybody and charges, right? So it was stupid, is what I'm trying to say. It was ridiculous. And it was just people who were ignorant and misguided.
Well, part of that, honestly, is a subliminal belief system that anything in a helping capacity or helping profession should be free. That comes from religion. The Christian religion would give away free counseling, free this, because they get your membership. And they didn't think anything of passing, you know, the donation plate around, and everybody thought that was okay because it's by donation. But they don't know and didn't think to ask that behind that is big business investing and building and growing to have all these buildings. Who pays for that? Well, but it's that free service. So this is what happens in our subliminal belief system that we've taken on from something else, even though we don't realize it, that they think a helping profession should be free. They don't ask that of the doctors and the lawyers or, you know, the teachers or any other profession, but only if you're trying to do good. And here's the thing, that very often people have a complex that if I do good, I can't do well. And if I do well, I can't do good, because they'd create a wall. And here's a newsflash. We can do good and we can do well.
All right.
So a little thing to mull around in the mind.
Michael, go ahead with your comments, then we'll start picking some cards.
Well, first I was just going to touch on the irony and hypocrisy that is the concept of tithing. I mean, these donations where they heavily encourage people to donate 10% of their gross income, that's gross off the top, not net, to the church. And you're right, these programs, they're not really free, you know, some of the programs the churches offer. So it is somewhat of a hypocrisy. But moving on to, well, it looks like we have several people that are going to be going for cards. Well, let us move on to that section.
All right, so the inner oracle cards, do you have a different comment?
I was just going to start out by saying I did pick a card for the group tonight, and I power of belief number 25.
Cool.
I don't think I even need to read that. We've been talking about it all night, so
read it anyway.
Well, you know, belief's the most powerful force in the universe. Of course it is. One's beliefs are responsible for one's successes and failures. Of course it is. It's also important to realize that you cannot disbelieve in one thing without also believing in something else. That's important to significant. We think, oh, they don't believe in that. Well, we don't think to ask, well, then what do they believe in? That's just a point. Beliefs can help or hinder, enable or disable. Denial is a belief and means lying to oneself to evade responsibility. There's truth in that, truly. Ponder your beliefs to see if they're healthy or unhealthy, and proceed with conviction. I might also add to that, part of my debriefing myself in my life to recreate who I am was to ask myself about my belief systems. And I say, wow, is that something my mother did, or is that something that I took on by osmosis? But is that a belief I would really choose? And so ask yourself, is this a belief system I would really choose for myself? Or am I doing, you know, living by that belief because it's accepted by others and I just got it by osmosis? A thought.
Good.
All right. Sherry is up first. Michael, maybe you'd like to pick a card for Sherry.
I'd be happy to. And this is perfect. This is number 30, Greatness to Deliver. And when we get out of our own way, we can deliver our greatness.
Yes, but we can.
Every human being is born with greatness to deliver. Greatness embodies unique self-actualization and self-completeness and does not settle for mediocrity. Greatness goes above and beyond what is common and aspires to nobility of character. Greatness is being part of the solution and not part of the problem. Remind yourself with the question, what do I need to reawaken in me in order to deliver my greatness? Remember, you are valued. Delivering your greatness is making a difference in the world.
Good.
And that's, you know, some people think that that implies doing something that makes you famous and profound.
Yeah.
And yet, some of the greatest work is done by people who are not known by anybody else except the receiver. And that's more profound than anything. Influencing one human being, helping one human being, that's your greatness in that moment.
Hmm. Well put.
You read my mind.
All right. Well, Heather, I pulled a card for you next, number 42, and it's trust and integrity. Integrity means being true to oneself. Well, we've kind of been talking about that tonight, haven't we? Intuitively and sensibly. It's adherence to moral and ethical principles, soundness of moral character and honesty. A trust betrayed loses integrity, of course. And trust without integrity is empty. Yeah, that's the way it feels. Trust, along with communication, is one of the two most important relationship traits. I'll say that again. Trust along with communication. Move forward with integrity, remaining steadfast in the greatest relationship of all, which is you with yourself. So that's a good little reminder. And anything that you might be going through, Heather, that's just a way to bring yourself back into you and being true to yourself. That's the most important key. Dr. Jean is up next, Michael.
All right. I've pulled number 40, relationships. Healthy relationships are interdependent and win-win. They are not dependent or codependent. Accept others for who they are and not for what they believe. Don't be judgmental. Otherwise, end the relationship, regardless of who it is with. For healthy relationships, we must add more than we subtract. This card can refer to a healthy or toxic relationship, or to the relationship of one thing to another.
Good.
You know, I think that it's, if I can say, when we're talking about how we get in our own way, you know, and what's in our own way, I think relationships is a huge element in that. And again, pleasing or not understanding, very often we filter information about how the other individual must feel, what they really mean, what we think they really meant, you know, and we're always presupposing or pre-guessing, and that kind of gets in the way of what's actual. And I think that we really do want to believe the goodness in people, but we have to accept the actual of what we're looking at, what we're dealing with, and not allow our desire for potential and love of potential to be in our own way. I think that's another way that we get in our way.
Yeah. Good.
Absolutely. Well said.
All right. Who's next?
I can't see anybody else at the moment, right, unless I miss somebody.
No, I believe we got everybody.
All right, very good. Well, it's been an interesting discussion, as always, tonight. We've talked about not standing in our own way, not holding ourselves back, getting out of our own way, and a lot of good points came out of the discussion tonight, so hopefully you found something that is encouraging, and at least, if nothing else, get you thinking. So that's good. All right, so appreciate those of you.
Maybe next week we can talk about the love of potential.
I'm sorry.
We could address what the love of potential is. You know, there's so many aspects to that, being in love with potential as opposed to what's actual. Maybe that's part of where we're at in getting in our own way to evolve. I like that topic.
All right. We'll talk about it. All right, very good. So appreciate everybody joining us tonight. Thanks to Dr. Hunter. Thanks to Michael for your input. Appreciate those listening to the archives, too. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night, everyone.
Good night, everyone.
Good night, everybody.